I said, what you know about it?
It's the stew, baby.
Got the mise en place.
Young stew, baby.
And the room a lot.
Hello, hello. You're listening to The Stew. My name is Jason Stewart. This is my food podcast.
Food podcast.
Samantha is in the house. Pickles is in the house. Andre Conoparo.
Stewie's
in the house.
I'm in the house.
Today is Pickles, my dog, eighth-month birthday.
Oh, okay, so you've gone down the rabbit hole then, apparently, with that statement.
Jeez Louise. It's like it's your first girlfriend. Like, this is our, like... 14-month anniversary.
14-month
anniversary. Sam does not like this line of jokes.
It's Pickles.
Happy birthday, Pickles.
Pickles hit the groomer yesterday.
She does look really good.
Pickles smells amazing. She smells like aisle 3 at Ralph's. From all my Ralph's heads who know what aisle 3 is going down. All the conditioners.
Okay.
All the shampoos.
She has some fire in her belly this morning. I like it.
Pickles good.
She came to play today.
I think our dog is going through the terrible twos kind of right now.
I didn't mean terrible. She just seemed like she was ready to play.
Anytime somebody comes over, it's party time. She's getting a little barky at the door. She'll bark here and there. She's getting a little whiny in the morning.
Oh, so she's a dog.
She's a dog.
Cool.
But she was so good up until the last month or so, and now she's kind of.
I think
something's going on, but it's normal.
I think for the most part,
this is dog chat.
Because you have welcome to my dog cast.
Welcome to my dog cast.
They have to learn to bark. So you got her as a puppy, and for a lot of times they are not real yippy barky until they get a little bit older, and then they just become a normal dog.
And then they met your dogs.
Oh, hell no. Yeah, my dogs are terrible.
All right, keep it moving.
She came back to the house playing dice. You're like, what the hell?
Stuart. Pickles.
I love the dogs.
I didn't know you had a little tattoo underneath your eye.
A lip tattoo? So mama can't see it?
Yeah, she had the inside of the
inside
lip tattoo.
Tattoo is such
rare
a
dog
move.
Tattoo.
Rare human tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
This says trust no bitches.
We'll keep it moving, Stewie. Tattoo. We'll keep it moving.
Not that I have like a great topic.
What do you got, Stewie?
Oh, Jesus.
Stewie's on. Stewie's ready to go.
I have a new lease on life.
You have a new lease on life?
Lease
Did
on
you have
life.
A near-death experience?
Kind of.
Your hair looks great this morning,
Your hair does look nice.
A little, yeah, I got a haircut.
Looks nice on the sides.
Thanks, guys. Oh, yeah. This is the best $15 I ever spent. Highland Park's finest New York cuts. Holla at you, boy.
Damn.
Oh, across from a fine breakfast burrito. I got to tie the food in. Yeah.
Sure.
Bunny 52.
Way to tie it in.
So, describe this breakfast burrito. The basics?
You know, they give plenty of egg, which I really appreciate.
They give
a lot
good
of time
egg.
They give you tons of potatoes.
They give good egg.
Yeah, they give good egg. Potatoes are always nice and seasoned properly. Tasty bacon, but I gave this to Jason one time. The sausage is the move at Monica 2. It's super juicy. They
you don't think
cut
about
in little chunks.
Sausage in the breakfast burrito, usually.
It's
I'm
a sausage
okay with it, but
link.
You don't think of it.
Sausage link, not a sausage patty, so it's nice and toothsome. It's very good.
Because the link in the burrito is not unlike
juicier.
A sushi tuna. Like you're kind of laying long strips
no,
of
no, no.
Things.
It's chunked. It's a link sausage that I think they quarter after the fact.
It's a chunked link.
It's a chunky link.
But it's not
the chunks
breakfast
of
sausage.
A link.
Or maybe it is.
I mean, not in this like a not in like a handmade patty sense, okay. But I mean, yeah.
I was thinking like a hot link.
It's kind of breakfast. It no, nah, it's breakfast sausage.
It is breakfast.
Yeah, but it's you know in the link's shape, you know,
still tight.
With the casing that is.
Really describe this link.
No.
Just kidding. We just spent the last 5 minutes describing it.
It's bark. And what's that? You had it. I can't think. What's the seasoning in the crema? It's like a chipotle cream. That's what it is. That's what it is. Super simple. It's a little inconsistent on the size.
Ooh.
Oh.
But it's like $5.
Right.
So I'm okay with inconsistent on the size.
Really?
If it's breakfast, sort of.
You're like a who is if it's
well,
like if that's your routine for breakfast and it's like up and down.
Have you
like,
ever had one that you were like, I am not full?
No. God
See,
no.
See, there you go.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
as
yeah.
long as
totally,
it's like
totally
big
no.
enough normally just to be enough for breakfast, then
I think some burritos are just too damn big.
Yeah.
Like Lucky Boy breakfast. People tell you to go to this spot, Lucky Boy in Pasadena, but they don't tell you that it's like the fucking size of Jason's arm.
The weight
so big
of burritos is too damn high.
It's like at least 6 pieces of bacon chopped up in there.
Well, look, the first thing someone tells me when they say like they make the biggest burrito you've ever seen, I'm like, "What does it taste good?" I have a feeling it doesn't taste that good if it's that big.
It's like,
It kind of really is like
it's like not it's like value buying added. A Hummer because it's really big. Like, yeah. it's not a tight car. It's just really big.
It's huge. Yeah.
And speaking of breed, I was reminded why I wait in line at Taco Zone. Mm. Yeah, I mean, you went to El Flamin' last night, I'm sure.
Speaking of giant burritos,
yeah, but I went to Ariza's instead because my girlfriend lives right over there. It's right there, the last in San Diego for a girlfriend. Mm. And, I got a chorizo burrito, and the chorizo's excellent, but like. The cheese isn't melted because it didn't spend any time on the plancha. Like, once you wrap the burrito, you got to, like, really seal the seams and do, like, all four sides. And that's why at Taco Zone, you're like, it's taking a while. And then you're like, oh, duh, it's because they, like, do it right. And then Riza's like, I was like, shit, it came out so quick. Dude, I'm really hungry. I was like, oh, I wish it had taken longer to, like, put some love into this thing.
Taco Zone's so tight.
I don't think the rice, I don't even know if they used like, chicken broth in the rice. It was so white and bland. Like the details just weren't there. It was such a bummer. And the salsa game at the zone is just so on.
There's no weak link at the zone.
Some people say the meat gets dry because it just like lives on the plancha. You know, like a little corner they have.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, they like chop up the meat to go because it's so busy. And they, in some places will cook the asada per order. And it's so much better that way. So I don't really stick towards, I don't usually get beef items at like Taco Zone too often. Unless it's Suadero because it's just so good that even if Suadero is dry, it's still good.
I never get the asada at Taco Zone.
That's why.
I get the Suadero. I've never noticed anything
being
dry. Yeah, you know, if everybody doesn't know, it's just garlic brisket. It's,
you just don't see it very often.
No, not well.
So
not
hard to find. Like it's such an uncommon meat on the list of things.
The only thing I think of is King Caco does it, bizarrely. Like,
King Caco does it.
King Caco has Suadero. See,
for the listeners, Suadero is brisket.
Not necessarily.
Oh, no?
Correct. There is a little bit of debate. I think Suadero, in the truest definition, is a specific, very small part of the cow's meat of the stomach that's right by the udders, apparently. And some people will say it's brisket. Some people won't. But
I wonder.
That's super interesting. I didn't know that. I've always assumed because I've always seen it described as brisket.
Yeah, Suadero is a thin cut of beef from the intermediate part of the cow between the belly and the leg.
Shit balls.
Noted for having a smooth texture rather than muscle grain. Typically fried and used as taco filling, also known as matambre.
Matambre sounds like a Coke dealer from an 80s action movie.
Yeah.
My name is Matambre.
Matambre. That's a family you don't fuck with.
No. Mm-mm. That's Juarez connection.
Yeah.
You may have seen me on the documentary Mind of a Chief.
It's more similar to a flank steak than a brisket.
Huh.
Damn.
But a lot of places will just call brisket Suadero.
Right.
Because it's kind of like, you know. It'll be like, ooh, Suadero. Yeah. And it's like, it's been cooking all day, so you can't really exactly tell what it is.
That's the deal, yeah.
Yeah, it's always braised, so I just assumed, of course.
But I feel like Taco Zone might be a place that does it legit.
It's so fucking
good. Oh, so good. I mean, and if it's not legit, I don't care, because that's what I want Suadero to taste like.
And, personally, it's just got to be, it's a couple with cheese. So Suadero in a Melita form or Suadero in quesadilla form. In a burrito, it's a little too intense because you get, bless you, you just get so much Suadero throughout that burrito. It's just like you don't have something to balance it out. It's like I couldn't just eat a bowl of Suadero. It's so intense. So
I am
rich.
Not a quesadilla fan, and I always get a Suadero quesadilla.
The quesadilla, the Taco Zone, is the best because of the fact that they're, I don't know, their cheese is just so gooey, but not too gooey, and it's like not too salty.
Well, speaking of the opposite of these authentic burritos, I went to El Flaming Taco last night.
Still jamming, bro.
And had the pastrami burrito, which is a giant 5-pounder.
Beast.
Man.
Do you bring like a little Red Ryder truck with you, like pulling behind you because you're only 2 blocks away to bring it back?
I use it as like a little kettlebell.
You just do exercises
to try and work it off.
In the bag still? That helps, yeah.
Yeah, man,
it's too hot to touch.
It's not as long as like a chipotle burrito, but it's the girth on it is
the weight is
it's almost a square. It's almost a perfect square, but it's just a pound of pastrami, thin sliced on the grill, French fries, cheese, and avocado.
420 friendly.
And
420 friendly indeed.
AF,
is the menu at El Flamin? There's a 420 menu. 420
yeah, well,
friendly
it,
menu.
It used to be there was like, here's the menu. It's just like tacos, burritos, mulitas, blah, 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 blah. It's just like, here's like the 10 different kinds of Mexican food. Here's the 10 different meat fillings, and then that's it. You know, you just pick whatever you want, and then they would have a 420 menu on the side that's like all for like the white people who are stoned. And then I think in like a year ago, they're like, the whole menu is 420 friendly. Like, this is all.
Right.
And so it's, yeah.
The idea being that they kind of give you a jump start on ideas that you didn't even know you wanted. Like
mm-hmm.
pastrami with French fries.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You did not know you wanted it, but you want it. But I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's like getting a pastrami hoagie, except there's less bread and more pastrami. It's kind of like genius, to be honest.
It's awesome. It's a great application.
And with like a couple little tweaks, you would not, if you didn't put salsa on it, it would have nothing to do with Mexican food whatsoever.
Well, the French fry in the burrito, I mean, I just love a French fry in anything, whether it's a sandwich, speaking of hoagies. So there's this place called Primanti Brothers in Pittsburgh that's famous for their sandwiches. And basically, it's in an industrial district, warehouse district, where all the truckers came through early morning, late nights, long hauling.
Mm-hmm.
And so they invented the sandwich. It was basically everything in a sandwich. So it's like whatever meat you want, coleslaw, French fries, on a hoagie so they could eat it with one hand.
Sick.
And exactly. And so then I was looking on Uber Eats yesterday. And I'll have to look it up, but somebody in L.A. is doing a Pittsburgh-style hoagie like that with like choice of meat, French fries, coleslaw. And I think the one on the menu that they were serving had, it was like turkey breast, French fries, coleslaw, lettuce, tomato, mayo on a nice like French roll. So point being is if I see French fries in a burrito or in a sandwich, I get real excited.
I think I just looked it up, Steel City Sandwich Truck.
Yeah,
what it appears to be in LA.
Maybe they're catering for Uber Eats then, but yeah, it's awesome.
As long as you fry
that sandwich
fries,
is
right.
So good. Yeah,
that's a bummer because if you get it and it's not executed well, it's a real trick.
And the Greeks do it too.
Yeah, like
really commonly they'll throw a couple fries and a gyro, which is again makes me very happy.
Or even like a dune, they have like fries, but they're really thin strips.
Oh yeah,
yeah, those are really nice. Right. Almost like
little crunchitos.
When you do like fried tortillas on a Southwest salad, it's kind of that, with potatoes.
Crunchitos.
Or the sesame stick in the Whole Foods salad bar.
Oh, honey sesame.
Whoop.
Woo.
I have a slight hangover from last night.
God. Okay. Yep.
Hey, what happened?
Nothing. No, just when Maggie's mom. Shout out Kathy. Miss you. Love you. She was like, you guys are always hungover. I'm like, I'm not. Look, it's the two dudes across the table
I
from me.
I haven't been hungover on this podcast in so long.
What up, Mom? Yeah, I party.
Yeah, I danced. I danced last night, Mom.
We are in L.A., Mom.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. But also, we do this very often after you guys are working and doing a night of
it's true.
The clip.
It's true. It's part of the job, Mom.
That's not true. I had a few beers. I forgot I had some beers last night. Yep.
Well,
okay.
What would you do?
So slightly stunned,
Andre's girlfriend's mom. What would you do if you went to a party and it had free champagne, open bar?
Oh,
bang,
free
bang.
Grilled cheese truck, free Kogi truck.
Ooh.
This is why I'm wondering how you
so
went
good.
To El Flamin after
this
all this,
the
by the way.
Thing?
Yeah, Adidas party.
I was like, whose birthday did you go to that got two trucks and had an open bar?
Shoemaker's.
There was also the Cool House ice cream sandwich truck for free. But I only had one taco. I didn't really fill up.
Yeah.
But the free champagne,
yeah.
Nothing gets it going like that.
Deadly.
Like a headache going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a hangover?
Let's be clear. Kathy parties and has partied much in her life.
She's
a ripper. She shouldn't be wagging that finger.
No.
Kathy, okay. Calling you out.
I mean, we're doing this. It's not like we're like hiding our head under the pillow.
I think one reason to mention
it's
that, like, people kind of like to hear it. They can relate to it. It's kind of like, it's like a little water cooler talk. Like, Todd went on last night, guys.
We're bringing you in the inside.
Yeah,
this
bringing
is
you
how
inside.
Sausage is made.
And then whoever's listening is like, I've partied before.
I've had champagne before.
So this
I'm
is very relatable.
I want free drinks.
I really liked your mention of Rave Slave on the last podcast.
happy. Rape Slave.
Just came out.
Just came out of nowhere.
But my great revelatory experience is that I realized Burgalords were going to be at Coachella in the VIP booth next to the homie Jesse from Free Range.
Mm-hmm.
But
nice.
I am staying home and not going. I'm not going so I can watch over the restaurant.
You're going to stay home?
I'm going to stay home, which is great.
Because, super tight.
Because I was kind of going insane. Every second is like just going back and forth between Burgalords and physical and Burgalords and Coachella. Yeah. Like I couldn't even focus. I couldn't think. And it's like, oh, we have a podcast? Like, no, I can't fit that into my brain. And now it just feels like a part. My whole brain is
We're
going
to do a live pod
everything.
In Coachella, though, so you're going to have to go for that.
Yeah, we're going to have to go.
Now, if we go, I'm just going to GNR pit, and I'm bailing. Kooks.
Guns N' Roses.
GNFNR.
For our listeners who might not know.
Come on, man.
It's the food podcast. I found that people, like, I'm not the person that likes to do those big live events or be it, like, a live, like, when I'm doing commercials or whatever and it's at, like, a big festival. Some people live for that. They live for that kind of energy and chaos and are super excited to do it. I'm the exact opposite. And I would so much rather just like get something that's controllable and an environment that I can set up and like, you know.
Get a nice place to sit down, a little shade.
I think there's two types. I'm not saying that you're either one of those. It's obviously you were having to deal with both at the same time, which is a nightmare.
It was tough.
But I found myself, I do not like the chaos of something like that.
Well, I'd be down to go if I was working it and I knew that we had been open for a year, we had all the staffing in place where I can leave for 3 days and mm-hmm. Five days. Because the first week I'd be there from Wednesday till Monday. So that long of not being there.
Or if you were
giving
a food
me
truck
crazy
and that
anxiety.
Was your only business.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Just like your LA location closes and you just go out there.
Oh, you'd be stupid not to. Anybody with a food truck that wants to go, that you have to go. We're super lucky that they want us. I mean, people were saying,
nice
"You guys have been
wanted.
Open. You guys have been open for 5 months." It's like, is there like a guest list? Like other people that have food trucks, like I want to go. Like, how are you guys going? It's like, yeah, we're just thankful and appreciative.
Because we're
it's
sick.
Gonna be great. I guess we're sick. I don't know. But it's a great opportunity, and I would be happy to go and do it. But I'm happy to stick around and sleep in my own bed and make sure everything's cool here.
I went and had lunch yesterday at Amboy.
Oh yeah,
hung out with Alvin from Egg Slut. And he's going to be out there.
He is? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right,
he's going to be out there, and they're going to be doing... they'll probably, I'm assuming, be doing Egg Slut stuff. Or maybe not.
I think he's just like...
Or maybe he's just doing pop-up stuff.
I think he's doing pop-up and like doing some dinners. Like sit-down dinners for the higher-ups. I don't think he's doing feeding the masses.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think he's doing private stuff.
Sorry, noobs.
Sorry.
And that's kind of
blowing up your spot,
Alvin. He was kind of talking to me about his good idea of like sort of brokering the dinners there, where like he'll set up the infrastructure because like they you have to pay to get a booth in Coachella because your potential of making money is very high.
Oh yeah, there's a commission they take.
So they'll take a cut. So he'll just get five chefs and he'll get the space and get everything in there. And then those chefs will pay him X amount of dollars to use it all.
Yeah.
And then everyone's kind of happy.
It's a percentage, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
but
it's a good
it's
deal.
It's exposure if you're up and comer.
Yeah, and when he was on the podcast, I think it's less Machiavellian to make money and more that he just really likes the energy of other chefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, which is the huge part of opening up his
not
pop-up
doing
space at Amboy, too. So he's not like, ugh.
Yeah, you're not gonna
let me rent this space and you do all the work.
He's not going to make the dough like he would have made if he had eggs left there still.
Right.
It's just like... Insane. Yeah.
Yeah, but that Amboy.
Amboy is fantastic.
That great. I feel like they, it's a classic Filipino quick grab and go lunch spot, but like the menu that he has going on is like the ideal sort of on trend healthy eating
super clean and
format. Just
super
like
flavorful.
Simple.
Super
well, clean. Well sourced proteins, cooked simply. You know, lots of grains, veggies, legumes.
Yeah, I mean,
and there's no dairy, there's no cheese, there's no bread. It's just like a very satisfying meal, and it's all sort of whole ingredients.
Looks beautiful, comes out wrapped in a banana leaf,
and super affordable.
Super affordable,
and crazy hot sauce.
I mean, I'm right there.
Hot sauce that I'm into right now more than sriracha.
For me, it's a skill to take your lunch break. or get a lunch and then go back to work, you know, to eat the right thing. Amboy's, yep. Amboy and Pock Pock are my go-tos.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard.
For me, it's hard. Because I have all these, you know, like Little Jewel of New Orleans is right there. But, oh, God.
You're gutted.
After a mangled.
Yeah, I feel like a lot
Chego,
of people.
I'm gutted after.
A lot of people can.
It's so good,
who
though.
Are listening can sort of relate to that lunch break. You have an hour, and then you have to factor in mentally, like, all right, it's going to take me. I can go to the place around the corner that's kind of shitty, but I'll be able to, like, get there in 2 minutes, sit down, eat it. Yeah. Rest, but it's not gonna be that good. Or I could go to the place that's 17 minutes away that's super good, but then I'm gonna have to scarf it down in 5 minutes because I have to get right back in the car and go back to work. Tough times back for our 9-to-5ers listening, but we do it for you guys.
Yeah.
So, well, you also becomes like, if you're not super in your job or if it's kind of like monotonous, like the lunch is the one thing that you can make special. You choose what you want.
That's and your time. Nice.
And by the time you get to it, you're like, you know what? Today's salad day. And then lunch hits. You're like, I need something. I need something to make me happy.
You have a bad phone
today,
call or something.
I'm getting that fry burger.
We're thinking Shakey's?
I'm getting Suadero fries.
I'm thinking Mojo's.
Reader's Digest and Mojo fries. Oh.
Reader's Digest and Mojo potatoes?
That a tough day.
Mojis.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah.
How many Shakey's do you think are left in California?
I don't know.
I think Shakey's are around.
There's one in West Hollywood, I know.
There's, they have a lot
one
of
on
area.
Sunset parties. Still open?
Yeah. I think they're all. There's probably 10 in LA.
People love Shakey's, dude. It's like such a sports spot where you can bring the fam, but you also get hammered drunk.
I think
too.
If you're
you also get blacked out.
Well, it's like fancy people go to Shakey's. Fancy football people. That's like notorious. The one on Sunset.
Oh,
like,
really? I thought you said fancy people.
Fancy people. Well, actually, people over there, like, yes, some fancy people get unfancy and go to Shakey's and watch
your daily driver's
to
Little Caesar. But
hella
when you want,
gambling.
When family's in town, you go to Shakey's.
So you can sit down
when you got the parents.
I think
visiting.
Any place that has any type of all you can eat situation or a buffet situation. You will always have like a core market
for
of
sure.
fat people supplying you with income.
Yeah.
Like, all you can eat Korean barbecue will always flourish. All you know, Soup Plantation, it's always popping.
Yeah, it is.
Whole Food Salad Bar, not all you can eat, but it sort of has that feel.
I'm at $5.99 Thursday special.
What is there a place that does all you can eat that's not? That's not bad.
I guess if you went to a janky all-you-can-eat sushi place, if that existed.
No, I mean, like, is there a way to, like, have your business be all-you-can-eat, but also delicious and
well, you already
and successful?
The one that I would think of you just mentioned is Korean barbecue.
Yeah.
There's lousy Korean barbecue, and then there's good Korean barbecue. You know, like barbecue that
I
you're not
good
like
good enough for
well,
all
you
yeah.
spend like when you go to a place where instead of being like $15, it's kind of like 25 or 30, and you notice the meat's better. You're like, oh yeah, this is good.
That's true.
Not bad.
Mm-hmm. I'm with that. I think Korean barbecue is probably the one.
But when you go with a bunch of people and you do the numbers, it's usually not that much more expensive to go to a place that's not all you can eat.
Yeah.
When you've got like six people and you have enough to buy a bunch of platters, the meat's better.
Yeah,
you just end up eating a little bit more banchan, which I like.
But
the
it
most
just
anyways.
It just feels better to have that freedom, that safety net
there
of
is...
never having to like mentally calculate like every time we get another plate of meat, it's another $18.99.
Right,
like that that in the back of your head can be a little bit of a letdown. But when you know, you can just be like. Bring it on, bro. Chicken feet? Sure, I'll try it.
Yeah.
Squid brains? Let's get a platter. I don't give a
They're
shit.
They're gigantic. Weird.
No rice.
But, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, Vegas is famous for the buffets. And then you see, like, when you drive by places, it's like Vegas-style seafood buffet. There's one on Western. And there's always cars parked. And there's always
bumping.
People walking in.
Are they
singing?
There's
one, there's the chain, too, that the one that's by Glendale Galleria.
Yeah.
And those are always, like, I think, kind of popular.
What kind of food has the most loyal all-you-can-eat fan base?
I mean, Brazilians up there. I mean, most Brazilian meat restaurants, churrascaros, are I think that's how you pronounce them. How do you pronounce them?
I think
maybe
it's close
I should
enough.
I should rephrase. What race of person?
Oh, Jesus!
Wow.
goes
You're
in.
You have to answer that one yourself.
Goes
buddy.
In on the all-you-can-eat the hardest.
People?
White people in the Midwest who go to like
country buffet,
country or,
hometown
yep.
buffet,
hometown buffet. Exactly.
I got nothing.
Those are so popular.
Oh,
when
I
you're driving to the south.
In so long.
There's so many like official chain hometown buffets, and then bootleg like you said, like homestyle ranch buffet, and it's got like kind of the bootleg looking logo that looks similar to it.
We just go to one in Garden Grove every once in a while. Fucking bleak, man. Even as a child teenager, it's like, this doesn't feel right.
Even before you like knew what the difference between good and
it was just like pure guilt. It's like going to mass. It's like a cesspool of guilt.
Like, it was kind of like the buffet at a wake.
I shouldn't be doing that. Yes.
There was a cloud over it.
Silence. And the wake is for yourself in the future for eating there.
The wake is for your intestinal tract.
Maybe music, maybe not even music playing inside there.
There's no music playing.
Any sounds other than just like grumble. Like,
have you ever?
French toast this time. Okay. Okay.
Just the sound of silence and chafing dishes being switched out.
And everybody in unison looks at whatever hot tray is coming out. Like.
Like the slow
comes
turn.
Out of the kitchen, like
not yeah. No one's like, hey, what is that?
No,
everyone's
just
like,
melon.
Have you guys ever been
cantaloupe?
To like a catfish shack in
cantaloupe.
The south? Like all you can eat catfish?
No,
those are great.
Good,
but that's really simple because you're basically like a lot of those things are on the water.
Fish fry.
It's like all you can eat fish fry, but the catfish is fresh and they're frying.
That's jamming.
They're frying all your fish to order.
Your mouth vinegar
puppies, and they usually have like. A really good but really shitty at the same time, like sea or salad buffet, where it's like iceberg lettuce, ranch, shredded carrots, and it's kind of actually fantastic too at the same time.
And it's what you want in that at that time.
Exactly,
some crunch.
I really want to try. Speaking of crunch, I really want to try the shaved catfish.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
You freeze it.
It's basically I saw it. I think it was on Mind of a Chef, or it was some place in the South where that specializes in shaved catfish. Where it's basically like fish and chips, but the fish is catfish, and it's very very thinly sliced, kind of like paper thin flat strips.
Oh,
so it's more batter than fish, kind of. So it comes out and it just looks like big chunks of like. I don't, you know.
It's more realer than real. Fry balls.
It's more realer, yeah. So it'll be like a 5x5 square of fish that's, you know, an eighth of an inch thick. It's just a paper, and then they'll kind of batter.
Yeah.
Or you know, I don't know how they. I don't know if it's a batter and then a crust.
It's almost like sand dabs when sand dabs are so thin.
Yeah,
kind of like
that.
You can't get a big sand dab fillet.
So you get a huge basket of fried catfish that's shaved, but it, you know, you're eating like 3 ounces of fish, but it's just like a towering pyramid of it, and you just eat it, and it's like tortilla chips made of catfish.
Well, that makes two of us that wants to try it.
That
now,
sounds
Jason.
I think it was on. I think Sean delicious. Brock goes there on Mind of a Chef somewhere. But yeah, look up shaved catfish, and it's kind of, you know, it's like when you're eating fried fish, you're kind of like. Or fried anything, fried chicken.
Yeah.
The crunchy outside skin part is the best. The Wait. Inside is good.
Is Howland Ray's open yet?
But you don't want that.
Muy importante.
Speaking of fish,
yeah.
Andre and I went fishing 2 days ago.
We did. Did a full day trip.
Went to Catalina. It was not fruitful.
No.
Sadly.
But... very fun.
It was fun.
Catalina's a trip.
I caught a few, maybe 4 fish.
I caught one.
It was a bummer.
Did you only catch one?
No.
Oh, Andre.
I know.
You guys were drinking beers or no?
Had some beers.
We were drinking some beers, eating some shitty boat food.
Ugh.
Really?
That was the best thing. I don't know if this is going to be a good story or not, but like, okay, so on the boat, they've got like just a little galley with a plancha, and basically all you can get is hamburgers for the most part.
Yeah, let's take a glimpse into the world of boat food.
But the people around us, I wouldn't say, like, kind of had a low expectation of what food is, and so we had these burgers for lunch because we got the meal tickets included in the Groupon or Living Social or whatever, and so we eat the burger, and it's not... the worst thing you've ever eaten, but it really, you know, it's like barely passing.
It's definitely like the patties came in a cardboard box.
Yeah, and they're so gross looking.
Food warehouse.
Like gray meat, and you're just like, ugh. But it's fine. They had like Thousand Island and, you know, lettuce and tomato, and he toasted the bun, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then you overhear like the one guy who's just like, yo, man, this is probably the best burger I've ever had. And you look at him, and he's like 350 pounds, and he's just like wearing all Raiders stuff, and you're just like, ugh.
The part that bummed me out was all the people who work on the boat,
ugh.
You know, 6 days a week.
Gage was cool. The blonde-haired stony dude was nice.
Who doesn't like a blonde-haired
stony dude?
There's
one guy who was nice.
There's always one chill bro on the boat. But, like, these are people who you spend 12 hours on a boat, you know, 5-6 days a week, and you eat this food for breakfast and lunch. You know, two of your three meals a day are a bag of chips, a horrible for you, worst bottom of the barrel quality burger.
I didn't even think of it that way.
Or quesadilla.
And every single person on that boat had breakfast and lunch on it. Nobody, I didn't see anybody with like a brown bag.
Like you wake up,
banana,
you know,
nowhere?
It's 6:59 and you're eating your bacon egg breakfast burrito and like the worst coffee with powdered creamer. And definitely not having any water. And then
the guy cooking had 7 Sprites while we were hanging out with him.
You're just drinking Sprite all day, and then you eat a burger and some chips, and then maybe you'll make a quesadilla, and that's it. I'm surprised these people aren't so fat. But then, I mean, they weren't not fat.
Well, because they're working really hard.
They're working hard. They're working hard.
He needs those calories, so
I think just being on a boat in rough waters is a pretty good workout.
For sure.
Like, just the act of not falling on the ground is a decent cardio workout when you're on a boat in choppy seas.
You haven't seen them prep or clean up either. So, like, you're getting them in the middle of their shift. You're not seeing them in the very beginning, the very end.
We saw it all. We saw them scrubbing the starboard side. They're running up and down, cutting line. But even, I'm just talking about me personally, where, like, I wasn't really doing any work other than standing over the edge of a boat. Mm-hmm. Standing over the edge of a boat, not trying to fall into the Pacific Ocean, was like a decent core workout. So then you can sort of eat like a real piece of something, and feel all right.
Yeah,
and you're always on your feet. You're standing up.
Sounds.
You know, people will say the standing desk. That's a trend. I say. Boat desk is going to be the new trend.
Just get out there, do your morning emails on a deep sea fishing boat.
Sure. You'll have to obviously wait to get back to land. So they'll stay in your outbox until you catch a signal.
Yeah, that's fine.
But that's fine.
That's good. You get more done.
You do get more done.
You can read a book.
And then we, before we went fishing.
Yeah, the real story is the night
the
before.
The real food story was the night before.
Oh.
Where we went down to Irvine, California, home of nothing. And
that's the Anteaters.
Home of the O family.
Home of the O family. Home of a lot of great Asians. Our friend of the pod, Scott, his office is there.
Mother's Market's there.
We spent some time in Irvine. There. It's basically...
Sick Lee sandwich.
It's like if a city was just not... I don't know. How would you explain Irvine?
Beige?
Like if somebody who didn't live in the city they were building built a city... Like, if some guy lived in, like, Rhode Island and was just building a city, that would be Irvine. Because he'd be like, yeah, let's put that out there. Yeah, let's get like, a shopping mall. Yeah, let's get that. Like, nothing that you kind of actually want.
Yeah, like all cities sort of start organically somehow. Like, somebody moved there and, like, they set up their stakes. And then they're like, we got a gas station. And then we got a McDonald's. And then it kind of grows and we're going to get a mall. This is just like, here's a 20-mile by 20-mile plot of flat land, and then like one guy just builds a city.
Well, literally, Irvine's a corporation. It's not even a city.
But it's like.
Did you guys ever play Sim City as a kid?
Sure.
You know, like how you pull out the little square and you're like, that's a business district. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of pops up.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Like, that's like exactly what it is. We're just like,
everything is partitioned and just so. It's like, if, like, do you want neighbors? Yeah, but do you want them, like, do you, like, really want neighbors? Do you want them to be, like, next to you? Yeah. Nah. Do you want to walk anywhere without driving a car? Nah. Do you want, it's, like, really insular and solitary. And but there are food courts and plazas, and there's all sorts
of
great cuisines.
There are pockets of really good little restaurants.
Once you're there and you, like, park in your mini mall, But it's like gigantic. Picture whatever K-Town has. It's like those little strip malls, like 100 times the size.
But it's one. On. It's all they're like gigantic. Super tiny pockets because basically like the city exists with so many giant malls with like huge chain restaurants. Like the super tight little Vietnamese like banh mi spot's not going to pop up in an area like in a mall that already has like a TGI Fridays and an Edwards movie theater and like there's so they have to go to like these random areas, little strip malls that kind of like slowly build.
I mean, Irvine Spectrum is like the archetypal, like outdoor mall. I think it was one of the first ones.
Started this shit.
Yeah, it's canonical, if you will.
Canonical. Well, one thing Irvine does have is a lot of Asian restaurants.
Hell yeah, and good. And back in the vegan days, we would eat there all the time. Yeah.
So where was Ollie's son?
Fountain Valley.
Fountain Valley.
But we went to my BFF Dano, Korean man. His parents live in Orange County, and we went to Sun Woo Seafood.
Sam Woo, which is like a chain, but like four or five of them, I think.
And just had a bawling out Chinese meal. Where
we had like the birthday Chinese meal.
Yes,
is what we
Who's
had.
Who's we?
It was me, Andre, Dan, and Jeff, and Dan's parents. So we got to go.
Damn.
We got to really just, it's one of those places, it's like a very like Jonathan Gold kind of place where you would go there and all the fish is in fish tanks on display and whatever you order, they bring to your table and like show you,
before
like here's what you're going to get.
Here's your crab still alive. Do you like this one? And you go, yeah, all right.
That
one's Charlie.
Yeah.
We had like the sort of crispy skin duck with bows to start off with, which was great.
A little hoisin and slivered scallion.
Mm-hmm. Classic and delicious. And then a giant platter.
But very good.
Very good.
For a place that doesn't necessarily just hang their hat as
a
duck
seafood
place. The skin was super crispy and lacquered, and it was delicious.
Dan's dad brought a few bottles of very tight wine.
Mm-hmm.
What types of wines here?
We got some
Californias.
Yeah, some nice Syrahs to pair,
Mr. O.
And then like probably like 25 giant prawns, which were the bodies were steamed, still had roe all in there, which is a little weird for me, but
yeah, they were live, like they had the live prawns.
And then all of the heads were cut off and fried crispy, so you could eat the heads, which is my fave. And then the piece de resistance, 10-pound king crab.
What? It's huge.
10-pound king crab.
I've never seen
giant,
a bigger crab
like,
in my life.
You could hold it up with both arms outstretched.
We'll have a pic for
you. It's like a crab flag.
Crab flag.
That's insane.
Giant crab. I mean, it's a giant crab. Brought it out, showed it to the table. Took a, you know,
like dripping wet on the floor.
Dripping
the
wet
restaurant.
On the floor, holding a giant live crab. It was so weird.
It's so scary.
It was scary. You know,
it's
everyone.
Too big, dude.
And she was like, yeah, you know, here it is. Take your selfies. Like, I do this every day. Hurry up. And we're like, what the hell is going on? And then brought it out. We gave it the thumbs up. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, you know,
lightly dusted, fried, and a lot of ginger or not
garlic.
Even ginger, just garlic and chilies.
Garlic and chilies. So it was just a mountain, a huge, you know, a plate that was maybe, you know,
it was an Uncle Buck crab.
Two, you know,
it
two
like
and a half
Buck
feet
made
wide
this crab
plate.
For
yeah,
our
yeah.
table.
It was a plate that was the size of like a large pizza pan, and just overflowing with crab. They just cut it up into all the crab pieces. Kind of ran a knife along the slit of the leg so you can get in there.
Yeah, scissored, cut them open.
And then
so
just fried
pretty easy.
You know, a million heads of garlic and chilies just overflowing. And then you just get in there and munch it up. And
over rice and whatnot? Or
yeah.
Sounds
rice. We had rice.
Rice on the
like
side. And then there was a giant, the way it was served to kind of cut it with acid and herbs and stuff. It was a big bowl filled with soy sauce, just like a pool of soy sauce. And then on top of the soy sauce, they just floated a bunch of cilantro.
Yeah.
Straight cilantro.
Straight cilantro with stems and everything floating on top of a pool of soy sauce. And then like red chilies, fresh red chilies cut up all over it. And you just sort of use that as your salad to kind of cut it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's one of those things where you're like, it would be so much better if you only had one crab leg.
Yeah.
But we it was enough crab for 10 people, and it was five of us.
More than 10, but yeah. I mean,
and, yeah.
An obscene amount.
Like, and you can't not eat it.
That's one course, too.
Yeah. We, mm-hmm. So everybody had a couple pieces, and then you, so all six people at the table probably had one or two pieces, maybe three. And you look at the crab, and it's like it hasn't even been dented. Mm-hmm. And halfway through, everybody's just kind of laughing and looking at each other, because we all know that this is not the right way to eat. this is like comically indulgent, where you're just like pulling out these huge pieces of crab meat, and you're just like, and you're kind of like, everyone's like, are you going to be able to eat it? You know, as opposed to like, oh, this is so delicate and delicious and wonderful.
Yeah, it was a weird way to enjoy one of the greatest foods of all time.
It was excellent, and also I don't think anybody really put it together how, like, that this wasn't the right thing for six, and we had a whole duck to just kind of start the meal off with, and then fried rice, salt and pepper squid, pea shoots. Mm. I mean, like,
I need to go fishing the next day,
and then the prawns. Yeah, it was nuts.
But I would say if you're going prawns. To gorge yourself on a protein, king crab is the best to do it, because like if you eat 2 pounds of steak, like, you're done for the week. But 2 pounds of king crab legs, I feel like your body digests it pretty well. It didn't, like, we all woke up the next morning feeling pretty.
Yeah, I wasn't wrecked at all.
No problem at all. And we went back. Right. We went back to Dan's house, Dan's parents' house, and drank, 23-year-old scotch and
Macallan, 23-year, and some Johnny Walker Blue. Cut it real nice.
No cigars. But I mean, we had.
We did watch a Black Fly VHS tape from 1997.
Oh,
so that was cool.
Awesome.
That was wild.
That's straight Dan.
Dan found that in his. Dan has because his parents have kept all his stuff. Like, Dan has everything that he has bought since he was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Black Fly VHS tape is still there. The Spawn figures are still behind glass.
His pager from high school is on display.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's
like, as opposed to us who have probably thrown all, either parents have thrown it all away, or you let go of it moving from house to house.
Yeah, it's in it.
It's all there. It's in a time capsule of Dan.
I picture one of my girlfriends like, you gonna get rid of that? Yeah, okay.
You don't have to when it's your parents.
When you go to an antique store or like a comic book or a baseball card store, and there's like the 6 foot tall glass enclosed case with shelves and all the little memorabilia is on there.
Outside, usually it's this rough gray paint. this textured sandpaper.
Two of those filled with all of his childhood memories, like his first DJ mixer with like a Metal Militia sticker on it. You know, just all of your memories. It's a good idea.
No, it's cute.
Because I think when you have a house that's big enough,
I think it's gonna say yes.
Yeah, if it just lives in your living room and you have a one bedroom, it's gonna be a little much. But if you can tuck it somewhere in a hallway in your big ass house, it's like a great reminder to have on display. Like, you walk by it and you're like, oh yeah, like,
it's also
all of your life is right here.
It's also the coolest thing you can see of somebody who's a good friend of yours, but you didn't hang out with in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You met later in life. Because I met Dan
in our 20s.
Mid-20s, right? Yeah. So I get to go back and basically see his whole, it's like, this is your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it all on display.
See the parallels?
So awesome.
Yeah.
For all of our rich listeners out there, do that.
Do that for your kids.
Yeah,
or if you live anywhere in the country other than LA and New York,
have a little space.
You probably have a big ass house, and you pay half the rent that we do.
Or a basement.
Or a basement.
Chuck in the basement.
Functional basement.
Getting back to food, I'm going to a little Indian food dinner party tomorrow.
What?
I don't know.
We just had this conversation about how you're not a huge fan of Indian food, and you got to make me jealous.
I'm not a huge fan of Indian food, but a friend of ours is hosting a small little dinner thing. She's Indian. She's going to make Indian food. I don't know how to make any Indian food. What would you recommend me to make as an impressive Indian dish that's not like a a little addition on the side, like a fun little appetizer, or not like a big ass thing of curry. Or
I think you bring a bottle of wine to that. And stay in your lane, to be honest,
I think
with
alcohol
you.
Is a move. I mean, I
podcast guys.
I have the Mata Joffrey cookbooks.
I am.
I've cooked a lot of Indian food, but.
For the sake of conversation, perhaps, do
we? Sure. Well, I have a different,
Maybe those little onion bungees?
Yeah, I mean, something fried. Ooh. Something fried's nice. You know, any kind of patty or pakora or like whatever.
Making chutney is really easy.
Maybe I can make a yogurt.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, we made a chutney with Ann Lee one time. It was really,
I'm going home.
It was really easy.
No. I mean,
and it was fun to make.
Chutney is fun
to make? Yeah, it's fun to make. Just cook it down.
Just get those mangoes and cook it down, baby.
Yeah, whatever. You can make all sorts of weird types of chutneys.
If it was me, I would go to the cookbook and look at appetizers because there's some, like, in the Mata Joffrey cookbooks, there's, like, all kinds of, like, different kinds of patties and little fried things that you can make that you can do in advance in a batch and then heat up real quick in the oven. And, like, and that, you know, and that way you can get really, when it's a smaller dish like that, you can kind of go really strong on flavors
because
it's not a huge curry or a huge dish. So you kind of like have, you know, and you can hit it on top with some little.
Maybe I should just bring a single white truffle and shave that over only my food.
Definitely classic Indian fare.
You know,
classic Indian. Well, white truffle.
I listened to an Ina Gardner podcast and she was talking about dinner parties, and the host was really smart to ask her like what you bring to dinner parties. It's like something for the next day. Like, don't bring anything for the meal because most likely that person's thought it all through. You don't want crossover, and you don't want to outshine that guest. Even with certain alcohols, they probably have it. So it's like, bring a bottle of white, but don't have it chilled so they know, like, this is for you another time. Thank you for hosting. Or, like, bring a quiche. Like, this is for you because you put all this work into it. Tomorrow you're going to wake up. You know, this quiche. That's how, thank you very much. But I was
Here's
actually
a
being
Tostino
thoughtful. Here's
a bag of Tostino pizza rolls.
Yeah.
That's like, for after we go home.
She said, like, chocolate or even, like, a bag of coffee, things like that are good. Something for, like, the next day, that sort of vibe.
That's why Ayn is the best.
She's so good. She's an angel.
She is so good.
Talking about making pigs in a blanket and everything.
Stewie is getting titillated.
That's good. It's a good pot.
We all wish we had a little Ina around, don't we? I wish I could be the Joffrey.
I want to be Joffrey so bad.
They look like they have so much fun together.
Because money.
Money and time to do these
I feel
things.
Like we should get Jeffrey on the podcast.
Yeah. That's the one you want to hear
that's
from.
That's the one. I just want to be like, what do you do for a living, Jeffrey?
Just get him ripped on some nice wine and let him go.
He's got some dough.
And another thing, that bitch, Ina. She always, when she's like, start the barbecue charcoals, but then I'm going to do it. Like, she always has to correct me. Like,
She's not going to listen to this. She doesn't care about anything I do.
But I love
her. Say whatever I want.
She's so good to me. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. You're my everything.
She's like, just make mayonnaise. And then it doesn't work. And I break it. And then she hits me.
I spent a lot of time in the garage.
That sounds sick, by the way. Spending a lot of time in the garage.
He does not
having
spend a lot of time
in the kitchen. That sounds fantastic.
The only time Jeffrey spends in the garage is when he has to reorganize the wine cellar.
Yeah.
Damn.
He ain't changing out the transmission on the 57.
I just meant hiding in the garage.
Oh, he hides there.
That's what I meant. Not working on cars. Not redoing brake lines.
He's got a little TV for SportsCenter.
Yeah. Like the old portable TVs with the bunny ears, the black and white, that you tune in, like, you know, there's no like channel changer. There's
side
like an
ventilation.
FM dial that you try to get the channel on.
Oh yeah, ones that weighs like you pick that little guy up and oh, it's 75 pounds. What in the world?
Yeah,
that's his man cave.
That's the one.
It's just I watch Jeopardy on a black and white TV.
I'm good here
in the garage.
Yeah. That's a little fuzzy.
We watch our cartoons on in the morning when we were kids. G.I. Joe.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But I heard a Jay Gould earlier, and there's a film that came out. I don't know if anyone's seen it.
I did see the Jonathan Gold documentary.
You guys didn't talk about it on another podcast that I wasn't
I
on, because that happens to me a lot.
I don't think it came out when I went to Monterey.
That's always my fear. Like, okay, did we talk about this thing on a podcast?
It's okay.
But
City of Gold.
City of Gold.
City of Gold.
Anybody?
I saw it. I thought it was a nice documentary in that if I did not know anything about Jonathan Gold, I would have really enjoyed.
Or L.A. Food.
Or L.A. Food. But it was kind of... I was glad to see it and buy a ticket and support it. Because Jonathan Gold is tight.
The tightest.
But it was a lot of stuff like that I already knew just because I'm a food fan in LA. But it was cool to see his private life.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of what he talks about, if you've lived in LA and basically read his columns every week for the last decade, you're kind of like, you're up to speed with not only his ethos and his aesthetic, but also the places he's taking, you're seeing him shot in and go to.
The thing that I was disappointed in was his vehicle, because you always hear about Jonathan Gold. He's got this old green ugly pickup truck, and I was expecting it to be like from the 60s or 70s, but it's like a 2002 Dodge Ram.
Right.
That like
it looks mad 90s though. It's super.
Yeah, I guess it does look like it was like the truck that like kids would have in high school.
I think he said it was like a 97.
But you picture just like one of those, you know, those Chevy or Dodge trucks that's fully square. It's 12 feet wide, takes up the whole lane, and it's just like an old.
There's some rust damage on it somewhere.
Yeah. And then it's just like it's a $2,800 truck from 98.
Right.
Oh, it's like a what are you doing driving this car still? But it's so sick that he
I like
he
that.
Loves
I mean, I love that about him.
Listen to Tchaikovsky in there, fucking rolling around town.
It was interesting to see his children.
Yeah. They're neat.
They are neat.
Yeah.
They're probably going to grow up to be pretty tight. And also, his entire house is filled floor to ceiling with books.
Reference books.
Like hoarder level book collection.
I just think he uses them. I think it's functional for when he stumbles upon a new cuisine and he just deep dives on the history of it, so he knows what he's talking about. I think he probably has a great fear of not knowing what he's talking about.
That's true. Like, but I'm sure a lot of those are not cookbooks. I'm sure the majority of them are not cookbooks. Right.
A lot of them were.
But like up his staircase, every step on his staircase had 15 books stacked up. So all the walls lined with books. His coffee table in the middle of his living room, you couldn't put a drink down on it because it's filled with books.
Well, his wife, too, though.
I mean, he's a journalist, right?
I know.
In that, No. I know you know. But in the sense that like, even before he was a food critic, he was a journalist, you know, writing for Spin Rolling Stone. And I think that mentality, the printed word is what you live with and what you care about, in the sense that whether it's food-related or whether it's just general good writing, you're going to have a giant house full of books.
And his wife is editor of the Arts and Entertainment for LA Times, so I'm pretty sure she's got a stack of books in there somewhere. And then probably half
there's
of them.
A lot
it's
of,
a literate house.
There's a lot of people household. There's a lot of literary people who have homes.
Yep.
And I feel like they don't have that. Maybe you put them away somewhere.
They're just tidier.
Maybe.
Or maybe they just have so many books that they really don't have anywhere to put them.
I don't know.
But it seems like a nice environment to grow up in as a child.
I thought that was awesome. So you're saying the behind the scenes of his family. I was more intrigued. It's nice to see him having conversations with all the owners of the restaurants.
Right.
Like, I don't know what the people from Gelato are like, really. And to hear their story, Roy Choi has nice anecdotes. Just, I can't remember the San Gabriel Valley people, but just to see those owners and to get their take, it's like how nervous they were when he came, how much they affected his business, and having that take was really refreshing, because it's like, oh, that's so sweet. Like how much he's beloved here. Most food writers, they're just like, you'll talk shit. I've never heard anybody talk shit on Jonathan Gold in the restaurant from a restaurant owner's perspective. You know, he's just like, he's
like
a champion.
People will be like, this random dude like saved my business, like my kids are in college because of him writing an article about my restaurant, and it's so cool.
Well, I remember seeing a dig review of the movie saying that because Jonathan Gold doesn't really go negative, he just doesn't review the restaurant if it's not good. And he mentions, he's like, you know, I probably go to 10 restaurants and I review like 2 or 3 of them. That somebody's saying without that balance, like, well, without seeing him destroy a place or go really negative, I don't know. I don't have a balance for it. And I thought that was ridiculous.
So
it's
silly.
So stupid. Where it's like, what do you, like, people really want that schadenfreude of seeing something just torn apart violently.
Absolutely.
And it's like, that is not him. And that's the greatest thing about him, is that it's one of those, well, if I don't have anything nice to say, I'm not going to write about it, because there's too many good places that deserve, like, hey, you should go. You should patronize this place. It's excellent. They're doing something interesting.
And yeah. also, if you do follow him and you know his writing style, you can sort of tell, read between the lines.
Exactly.
Yeah, where like he's not odium. Super pumped.
And, like, and very, you know, it's a polarizing example, but like when you watch Guy Fieri on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, the same thing where like he doesn't say anything bad about any place. Right. Because, but you can sort of tell in the body language and the questions he's asking, like whether he's like actually, he's like, yeah, super solid.
Yeah.
Like you can tell, up. Like,
yeah. if you get a hug, it's good. If he just says, yeah, that's a burger. All right, man. Good job. But, you know, yeah. it's not super pumped.
You can tell if it's tight or not. So, yeah. I mean, and you have to do that. Or otherwise, like, it's very fun to talk shit on restaurants behind closed doors. But it sucks when you're friends with everyone and it's your world and your business and your career. You have to sort of keep it on the positive tip and say nice things. And let, you know, I guess it's the same thing for all art forms. You know,
your world. I'm sure.
Yeah, every world is everyone. World. You know, publicly is just like great job, cool support, blah blah blah. And then you know, when you're with your friends, all you're doing is just talking shit on everyone else.
Yes.
Well, I also get, even when you hear him talk about music like on podcasts, like when he's been on Food is a New Rock, he's got this thing where he doesn't really trash things because I think, in my opinion, you know, I'm a huge Jonathan Gold fan. The guy's so intelligent that it just becomes obvious what's bad. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why are we even talking about something that's bad when it's just so obvious? Like, is this a discussion? Of course that's horrible.
Right.
Like, yeah. Let's talk about something good and interesting and why it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
I like that. Take the high road. Lastly, guys, best thing we ate all week. Closing her up. It's going to be a tough one for me.
Who wants to go first?
I mean, I'll go first. I'm going to have to go the King Crab.
Yeah.
The King Crab was $300 total. $300.
I wasn't going to mention that, but you did.
$300. You know, King Crab, when done correctly, it's just so dang good. It makes lobster look like lunch meat, man. It was tight. It's a lot of money.
Makes you wonder how much those bottles were. Ooh la la. Mr. O, you're a god.
I will say.
And Mrs. O.
I liked it a lot. It was not my favorite meal. And I also, when you think of that price tag, I don't know if it's like I said, it's a birthday restaurant. Mm-hmm. You go there, it's almost comical like how decadent it is and huge and
mm-hmm.
but like a $300 steak from Kisbaka?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude.
That's something where it's like that crab was good. I feel like I've had small Dungeness that some of the meat was kind of like even sweeter and a little bit like the texture was a little more delicate and it was amazing to do and I was so excited and grateful to get to eat that crab, but I don't know.
Okay.
But mine was, which I place I thought I had been, but Hamji Park.
Mm-hmm.
The ribs word. From Hamji Park were so good.
Mm-hmm. Hamji Park, the Korean restaurant.
Yeah, that we were talking about last week with Koreatown. Tozy Kitchen.
I almost went. I'm sorry, I had to pull out.
Yeah. Ugh.
Hamji Park ribs are dang, dang delicious.
And the place I thought I had been, is now in hindsight very obviously hard ripping off, very trying to do that.
Mm.
Like from the look and the taste, but nowhere near as good. But just from the char on the ribs, that kind of sweet gochujang.
Not too spicy, just spicy enough.
Unbelievably good.
Washing
I wanted
it down
to eat
there
again the next day.
With a cold bottle of height.
Oh, yeah.
And some soju.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, plan our next family outing, a stew meal.
Yeah?
We should go to Crawford's next.
Oh, dying.
I agree.
I was down to go on that Monday. We should go soon. We'll go. Sorry, listeners. Crawford's, you go. We would like to hear your thoughts on Crawford's via Twitter. Very good. Mine
Stewie,
was,
what you got?
So last night, I was hoping there'd be... Was it last night? The night prior. Two nights ago.
For also, you went to Odeum.
I went to Odeum.
You went to Odeum?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's a whole other thing. We'll talk about that next time, I think.
Okay.
We ran out of time. I was going to do it. I have photos. I can't remember everything. I need the photos to remind me of what we ate, because we ate so right. What do you mean? It was the staff meal. It was like the owners and myself. No, why did I say staff meal? Like staff, like our staff at Burger Lord's.
Oh, got it.
So It was like flex zone.
It was like when a chef goes on Vice Munchies and you go to the restaurant and you...
So they knew you were coming and all that stuff.
Got and they're like, we're going to send out a bunch of cool stuff and we're gonna kill you with...
Speaking of Gold...
Everyone should go, by the way.
Gold just reviewed it and said it might be the most interesting restaurant in L.A. right now.
It's got... He was right. It's in its total infancy. I think he said it on the podcast that you told him about, the Bon Appetit. I think did he mention Odeon? Mm-hmm. I think that's why I looked up the review. It's like I felt because it was getting so much buzz, I needed to like chime in. And very rarely does he go to review a restaurant so soon after its opening. Mm-hmm. But he's like, I kind of had to. So he's like, I think he had alluded to like there's so much potential here. Like he's just getting started, even to the down to the fact of it. That's getting to know the ins and outs and the intricacies of like that wood fire oven. It's like sometimes it takes a long time to season it, aka master it, to understand like what you can do with it.
Sure.
So that makes a lot of sense. But it was fantastic. The whole staff's great. He's Timothy Hollingsworth is the nicest, coolest guy you would never know. He doesn't even strike you as a chef. It's so calm in there. It's so
former
clean.
Chef de cuisine at French Laundry
for years.
And...
That's like one of the most open, immaculate kitchens I've ever seen. But it's full of opulence and affluence, but it's not. It's totally humble and nice and services.
Did you guys get
regular.
The foie gras funnel cake?
Oh, good God, yeah. That was fantastic.
All right, we'll save it next week. Next week, everybody.
All right, fine. Yeah, so funnel cake, just strands. It looks like a big, like the base, the funnel cake base, looks like a big like rice cracker in a sense. Like it's really, like where it's like woven in the funnel cake. You know, it's not like a mound. It's, you know, you can't even really call it. It's like the funnel cake batter, like stripped around and in like a ring form. Strawberry balsamic
ring
mold. I took a photo. Strawberry balsamic shaved fennel was probably like the only raw thing on there. It's very necessary for crunch because the foie is in foam form, which is really nice because you've got the texture of the funnel cake, which has got some crunch to it. But the fennel that has crunch to it, and the strawberry balsamic that goes so well with the foie gras, and I might be leaving out a component, but it's great. It's tough because Fred and Max, the brothers of the restaurant, they're both vegetarian.
Yes.
So whenever meat things came out, or he'd like flow, I was like, oh, here's these green curry prawns I've been working on, and so Kevin and I look at each other like, woo, here we go. It's like lose a button.
Eating for
like,
two.
Damn, it was great. Lamb dish, like, oh, that's a lot of lamb. All right, here we go, Kev. It's just. Ooh, mama.
That's nice.
It was just never ending.
It pays to eat prawn.
God, I'm trying to think of it. Oh, the Putinesca, which I've had. I went in there for lunch one time, and I think Gold mentioned it. It's like one of the most deliciously simple, fresh. I think it's vegan. There's no cheese. Scratch pasta. I thought it might be egg.
Sardine or a little seafood.
It didn't, no. I think it was like toasted walnut and this beautiful handmade. Pasta that was kind of in the shape of like an octopus tentacle, like a curve that has these weird little nubs on it. It's so neat, so very very light. Nice Castle of Trava olives, so it wasn't too briny, but it was still there, really fresh. Like that was like the one rustic dish. Nice portions. God, it was great. The wine was fantastic. His brother does the bar menu, which I didn't realize. Super cool guy.
I didn't know that either.
Brian, I believe is his name. Gave us some tasty gin variations that he'd been working on. It was
the best thing you ate was this entire meal.
Yeah, that's why it's too hard to choose. The one that's fresh in my brain because I was like a double. My favorite thing was probably the funnel cake, or the Putinesca because I'd had it before. But the thing that's just I can't get out of my head is the other day we had the fish fry. I went to Cacao and I had them make me like 36 fresh tortillas. Because they're $3 for a dozen. Like, oh, that's a good deal. And I forget that every time I go to Cacao, I eat 2 tacos and I get so full because their tortillas are scratch.
Yeah.
And it's just so intensely filling. So just even that tortilla. I made a tartar sauce because there might be fish.
Tartar sauce.
But I went, when I got the text and I was right by Trader Joe's and I slid to Trader Joe's and I got this asada from there because I was too lazy to go to like another market. And I put the asada mixed with tartar sauce with the scratch tortilla and tons of cabbage was very good.
I bet.
Because the cabbage crunch, I did like the chopped onion and cilantro, avocado from Cacao, which is like the top for me. Or sorry, guac from Cacao. Mm-hmm.
Best guac.
Best guac. I've astonishingly Could consistent. Not agree more. It's so hard to make guac the same every time, and they do it every single day. And they run out of it, which is so sad.
Yeah.
I leave when they don't have it, and the deli case. I was like, well, this isn't going to work for me. So I just go, I go somewhere else. I, for real, yeah. Because it's like a coin toss. So I go to Cacao, or I go to like Public House across the street, the Eagle Rock spot, which Oinkster. Is really good. Or Oinkster, yeah. And if they don't have guac, I just don't go. But man, just making that. Just the scratch tortilla with just butter the next day. God damn, it's really good. Really, really good. And they wrap it in foil. So, I got that stuff at 4, and it still would have been warm for you when you guys came over. If you had come at like 8, it would have been good.
What Stewie's talking about is our big plan, because Stewie had to work. He couldn't go on the fishing trip. Is that we were going to bring home this giant bounty of fish to immediately fry. And we didn't have any fish.
I was gonna be the one that had like the house, house and everything. I was gonna get the oil
which we have done before after fishing trips. Mm-hmm. And this was not that trip.
And it would have been nice to have like one guy back to like have it all ready to go, which would have been me, because like, oh bummer, I couldn't go.
Good guy Stewie.
I would have been sick
through hard.
And you guys were so. I don't think you realized like how long it takes to go to Catalina and then come back. So you guys were there for a long. Your day was much longer than any of us anticipated.
We thought we were coming in around 1. Then we found out we were planned to come in at 5. And then we didn't get in until 6:30 because the captain kept the boat out late. So it was kind of a triple whammy.
Yeah, plus you're just gassed. I mean, after those days, you're super mangled.
Moral of the story.
Don't let Jeff
carne asada taco with tartar sauce.
Super good. And I make tartar sauce. I put tons of like paprika and weird stuff when I know I'm just going to be like Mexi style, you know, like because I made rice and beans and stuff.
Well, that makes sense because really beef and pickle is one of my favorite combos.
Oh, yeah, it worked. It was nice. But man, I'm sorry. That fennel cake, I mean, it's back and forth. That thing might be the one.
All right.
Dessert course. Oh,
so it's either a foie gras fennel cake from Odium or Trader Joe's carne asada.
With tartar sauce.
It's the tortilla. It's the tortilla was the thing.
Yeah, tortilla. Tortilla and butter.
The tortilla at Cacao. That tortilla is bananas.
Woo!
It is so good.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. TheStewPodcast.com is our website. Check out some of these restaurants we went to. Sam Woo Seafood in Irvine. OTM in downtown LA. Cacao in Eagle Rock.
Trader Joe's in Eagle Rock.
You can find those all over the world. You can follow me on social media at @themjeans.
Stewie Stewart.
Under Conoparo's no social media. Hello to all of our moms. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Happy East. That was yesterday.
Yeah.
No, Easter is tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
Should have talked about Easter. We didn't. Bye.